Welcome to AOL. Welcome to AOL Underground.
Would you please state your handle and the years you are active on AOL?
Nice, N-I-S-E, 97 to early 2000s.
When did you first get a computer?
I got my first computer for Christmas. My mom bought me it. It was a Packard Bell. I got it for the Christmas in 97. I can't really describe how joyful it was, man. I was fucking psyched when I got that shit, man. Like when I first logged online, dude, I felt like I opened like the Library of Alexandria, dude. I was just like, holy shit, dude. It just like changed my whole life. So yeah, that was when I first got my computer.
Did you like sign up for AOL, or did someone give you a fish, or how'd that work?
Actually, the very first thing we had, my mom had gotten it along with the computer. She got Prodigy Internet, and we had that probably a few months. And I forget the exact reason. I think it had something to do with like the billing or the connection issues. For some reason, we decided to switch to AOL. You know, we switched, and at the time I had one experience previous to that with AOL at a friend's house. Because everyone used to have sleepovers when it was their birthday and shit, and we were all at a sleepover, and this dude brings up his computer and there's AOL on there, and like we're looking at this chat room, and dude, I remember like, dude, at the time looking at these names on the screen talking, it was like looking at like a fucking alien world. We were like, well, it was so fascinating, dude. It just like all piqued my interest. So then when we got AOL, I was like, oh shit. And like, you know, I remembered that experience. So I think off the rip, I was already like, you know, very, very curious about it.
Nice. And how did you find the scene?
I started going to these chat rooms called Pool Party. And you would like role play that you're at a fucking pool party, and like there was chicks in there, supposedly. I don't know if they were chicks now that I look back, but like, you know, sips drink, walks over to, you know, and you like role play shit. And I was 10 years old. So, you know, what I mean, I got into that, and then someone was using a fader. And I was like, what the fuck is that? I don't know how, we're not allowed to make them colorful letters. What the hell is this thing? So I am the dude, and I started asking him about it. And I forget the exact conversation, but he told me that he got it in a private chat room. And that's when I found out about private rooms and that you could get shit in there that wasn't necessarily, you know, something sanctioned by AOL. So he told me private room VB. And then I went in there, and then so there was like VB, VB3, VB2, like multiple VB rooms. That's where I first got in there and started seeing the chat sends of people using progs, like, you know, and I thought it was so fucking cool, man. I was like, whoa. So I was also into graffiti at the time, and it was almost like graffiti on the internet. Like they were tagging the chat room with their tags.
That's pretty cool. So then do you remember like some of the first programs you downloaded?
Hell yeah, man. I definitely affected the fuck out of my computer several times downloading Blue Cross and Gothic Nightmares and South Park Punter, Stone Cold Punter. What else was there, man? Definitely Fade X, Fade Zero. Like Maggots of Fungi were like they were like Tony Hawk or Cal Ripken or some shit to me back then. I was like, they were like these mysterious figures that like were larger than life. I remember I opened my favorite intro. One of them was Fate X Millennium. It played that song Top Down Money Ain't a Thing when I opened it. I forget the name. Was it Ja Rule? Someone like that. I forget, man. But yeah, dude, it was great, dude. And once I started seeing that they had those intros with the music and shit and the cool art that was made in like Bryce 3D, that was one of the programs that they used to use, because I downloaded it from a Where's chat.
Yeah, dude, I remember Bryce 3D too, and like Maya and stuff like that. I just won it because I knew they were expensive, and, you know?
Hell yeah, they were like $400, I think.
Yeah. There was that one program, I think it played Pantera or something. I forget which one it was, but it was pretty cool.
Hell yeah. So yeah, like I started in VB, and then I found like the MMERS rooms, and I started downloading stuff, and like that's fascinating to look back on, because I can't, like with the how spoiled we are with these connections these days. Like, I can't imagine, I can't remember how it felt to like use the internet, like with as far as time goes. Like, it seems like I used to like get things done, even though nowadays it seems like it would, looking back, I don't know how the fuck we got anything done with that slow ass internet.
When you have, you know, an estimate of time, right? Then you can just like go about whatever you're doing, right? And you're just like, oh, I expect it in an hour and check back in an hour, right?
I have a lot of weird things with time, man. Like, I feel, sometimes I feel like I'm on a different timeline than we used to be on. So yeah, after I got into the Mass Mallard rooms and all that stuff, I think I was briefly in one of those Mass Mallard groups. Like, I think I was tasked with like uploading, re-uploading shit that I downloaded from other groups to theirs or something like that.
Oh, like you re-tagged it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was frowned upon, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it was ethically, I think it was ethically dubious.
Oh, so wait, so you put your own in-file, you take out the info file and put in your info file?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Wait, was it the original info files from the FX peers were in there, but then the AOL groups would like just tag the email, but the original info file, like the Razor 1911 or whatever, like that would still be in there, right?
Yeah, I don't remember, honestly, the exact little details of it. It was so long ago. I just remember like downloading shit and doing some kind of process to it and then re-uploading it, and they would like be happy with me, and it made me like feel like I accomplished something. So I remember doing that for a couple months, but then I just like fell off and found other chat rooms, and I started getting into crackers. And that was my passion for a lot of my time, dude. Password cracking, dude. Once I stumbled upon that, I was really cooking, man. That's fascinating to look back on, just because, like, dude, I remember 90% of the fish's passwords I would crack would be either M&M or like red123, blue123. There was like 10 passwords that it would always fucking be, dude. It was fascinating.
So you found a pro, like, so what program did you use to crack?
I don't know the very first one. I remember crackers, I remember, were like C4. Crack Network, Crack spelled CR4CK. Some of them were like real, like once I started like knowing people and I was able to get more exclusive stuff, I would get like private crackers that like weren't just freely available. Like the most elite one I ever got was called Dirty Socks by Gray and Tweet. And this was kind of towards the end, so I don't want to go too far ahead, but as far as password crackers go, this was at the end of my AOL time, but this password cracker was fucking beautiful, dude. I never saw an interface of a VB prog that was this gorgeous. I don't know who these guys were, like, as far as, like, their sophistication being programmers, but it was fucking amazing, dude. Like, oh, man. I would love to see some screenshots of that, dude, or get a hold of them guys. Tweak was, I think this tweak was TWEAK, or it's the other way around, because there was two tweaks, double E's and EAK.
Nice. So was it like one of those ones where it didn't look like a normal interface? It was just like kind of artwork with like buttons or whatever?
Dude, it was like a mod. It was like a program from today. Like the interface was sophisticatedly designed. Like it looked like some fucking... some shit you go to Best Buy and buy right now, dude. That's what I'm trying to say. It was so sleek, and all there was like micro interactions in it and shit. It was fucking crazy, dude.
That's cool. So what'd you do with all the cracked accounts?
At first, let's see. Yeah, at first I started off just cracking subs and masters, and I would just kind of start hoarding them. And I just got this like hoarding mentality where the more is better. And then I got in the private room scroll. That was the first room that I really like became like a part of like the culture there on a daily basis for a long length of time, and started like really kind of building relationships. Like I remember Level, I think he was in there. Lazy, who else was in there? This chick Tay, T-A-Y. I think Level was building a scroller. And he was looking for people to design scrolls. I just thought scrolls looked badass, how like the shit like moved back and forth and in and out, and like the intricacies of the letter and characters that like people would build in there. So I joined on to build scrolls for this scroller that Level was building. And I would sit there for hours just hitting space and backspace and just building these little intricate weaving designs and these long ass scrolls, and then I'd email them over to him and he'd like build them in. So you just hit a button and it would, you know, pull it from a file or whatever. And then once I got into that, I started asking them like how do you guys get these OH accounts? Like, well, so you're cracking them too? And so then I started, you know, trying to crack them. And then once I was actually successful with one, I was off to the races. I was like, oh, because you have to figure out that it's actually possible, I guess, before you get too into something. So once I cracked the first one, I was like, oh, shit. Then I started putting a lot of time into like building intricate password lists. And by then we were on 56 kbps. And then we were transitioning into the first instances of cable internet. And that was really an exciting time in cracking, because you could all of a sudden crack so fucking fast, dude. It was crazy. So I remember that transition happening around that time.
With the overhead accounts, did they have multi-factor?
No. At the time, as far as I know, only INT accounts and like shit like that. There was like ones that started, like there was host accounts, INTs, other like weird little letter combinations, like they're like four letters, I forget some of them, but they would have that RSA key. And I never got, like, some of the guys were into like fucking, I don't know if they spoofed that shit or how they used the RSA key, like, but some of them would get onto them internal accounts and shit with the RSA keys, but I never got that deep into using them.
Yeah, I think I heard stories about people calling AOL employees and acting like the help desk, like, oh yeah, read me the code, you know, on your RSA key and stuff like that.
I always wished I was a few years older, because then when spamming was going on, I could have got myself rich, but I was always a little too young. But I was real shy back then, so the thought of calling and social engineering something back then to me was like fucking alien. I would have never done that, so I didn't get into social engineering. But the first time I got on an online host account and loaded up a scroller, I don't know if this, I think it was called Mofo OH Scroller by Mixa, and it played Going Back to Cali by B.I.G. when you loaded it. And I remember that shit bumping out of my speakers and looking at the scroller, and I just felt like the baddest motherfucker ever. And I remember going in the chat and scrolling it, and it just lagged everyone out, and they were all mad at me. There was like villains that used to do that all the time. Like Mixa was one of them. It was Mixa and then Cali, K-A-L-I. And I don't know who that dude was. I hated that fucking cocksucker. Cali, man, everyone hated him. Apparently his mom worked for AOL or something like that. And that's how he always had all these infinite OH accounts or something. But he would just not stop. He would scroll the chat for fucking 10 hours every day for like weeks and shit and ruin all the chat. So yeah, that was about the time I started getting out of AOL. But yeah, the scrollers were the shit, and the crackers. So yeah, so I joined on with and built them scrolls for the for levels program. I jacked this dude solid for all of his accounts by posing as a female and sending him sub 7. Sorry, Solid, for jacking your shit, if you remember that.
Wait, so what do you mean you stole like all the accounts he cracked or something?
I don't know. I guess he cracked them, or he had these text files on his computer that he had amassed of like all types of elites and OHs and shit, like three letter names, everything, just a massive text file. And I don't know where I got this idea. I think I like just heard a story people were telling each other in the chat one day about someone posing as someone and jacking someone, and it put the idea in my head. And I was like, oh, I bet you I could do something like that. So that Tay chick that I mentioned earlier, I think it was her that I posed as, because I saw that her and Solid like talked. So I sent him what was that file, dude? There was a file type. SCR file. I sent him an SCR file with sub 7 embedded in it. I used that to jack his shit.
That's smart, dude. Yeah, I think one of the first things that I wrote was like, I think I called it like playboy.scr, you know, and I would just send it to people and it would just deltree their fucking computer. But yeah, it's not an exe file, so people aren't as suspicious, right?
Exactly, especially back then, man. Like there was like being suspicious about a file type, except if it wasn't an exe, you just really weren't suspicious.
That's so funny. Okay, so then you sub 7 was a great program too.
Dude, that shit was awesome, man. There was that, and then Black Back Orifice. But I think Sub 7 was the one that everyone on AOL used. And I remember the first time I got Sub 7, it was, I didn't know it at the time, but that's what happened. And they were making like my drive open and shit. And dude, that shit spooked the hell out of me, dude.
Yeah, it's creepy. I think you could print stuff too, right?
Yeah, you could print stuff, you can open like a screen and type to them like on their screen. I felt like some dark, like fucking like Chinese, like fucking Sith Lord fucking dude, like got into my computer and was like fucking terrorizing me or something, dude. I used to do a lot of underhanded stuff like that. Like I remember there was this chick named Play, and I think her mom worked for AOL, and her screen name was Play Baby. And I don't know how I got her to let me on her account, but I got her to let me on her account. And then I remember I changed the password and was just scrolling my ass off on it. That was the first time I was ever on a OH account before I ever cracked one. That's what happened. Yeah, I got on Play's account. Sorry, some of this stuff, it's like, it's all coming back to me now. So that's why I thought it would be fun to talk about it, though, because I never get to reminisce on this shit.
That's funny. Well, so wait, if you got on Play's account, but you've never been on OH, did you happen to have an OH program? Because most scrollers would pause after four lines.
I had all types of scrollers before I ever like had an account to actually scroll on. And like I was building scrolls and stuff before I ever actually got to use any of the scrolls that I built. I would just watch other people use the shit with their OH accounts that they had. So I was kind of ready when I actually got access to the account. It might have even been levels because he sent me a copy of it. I remember because I had built scrolls for it, but otherwise he kept it somewhat private because I think Mofo OH Scroller was a little bit later. And then around that time, Disco OH Scroller by Casey and Garrett was like another big one. And then and then at the end, it was Dirty Socks.
Yeah, it's funny how people like were careful, like they didn't want everyone to have it because then it wasn't cool or whatever.
Yeah, like some of them, dude, the fucking security on them was so goddamn good that I'm surprised that people were able to lock them down that good back then, like with the MAC address and all that kind of stuff built in, where like they had to basically register it to your MAC address or you couldn't use it.
Yeah, that was super interesting. I think Zone was talking about some of that, or like your hard drive ID. That was pretty interesting. You told me you got into like the hex editing too. When did that come into play?
Honestly, I think the first time I did it was because I just wanted to kind of pose and get like my rep up a little bit and seem like I made a, because I was trying to, I got VB3 and whatever, and I was trying to like build shit in there, and I just didn't have the patience at the time to figure out how the fuck to do it all the way. Like I got like the BAS files and I was on my way, and if I would have just stuck with it, I would have figured it out, but I just was too impatient. So, but my mind is always racing for ways like around shit. So I was like, okay, I'll just fucking hex edit someone else's and just change the shit on their labels and shit and make it seem like I made it, and then I'll accomplish the same fucking thing. Cool. So I started I think it was someone's scroller or something that I just like hex edited like the, you know, like the fucking window names and shit in the chat send and made it seem like I made it.
That's funny. I'm sure the programmer would not be happy.
Oh, I know. I wish I could remember whose it was that I did that to. It was one of like the popular ones though. But then again, a lot of people did that shit. Like there was like made different versions of like that ICC one. I can crack or whatever. I think there was like a bunch of different versions of that shit. But the funny thing is like nowadays, man, like people weren't like super malicious back then. They're like, yeah, we would bust each other's balls or something like that. There was rivalries, but no one was malicious really. And people were like, dude, the camaraderie and the mentorship was very apparent. Like, and people otherwise freely kind of shared stuff. Like, you know, sometimes people would be like, oh, I'm not sending you that lamer or whatever, of course. But you could eventually get your hands on whatever because, you know, someone would be nice enough to tell you about how to do it or send you whatever you're looking for. So,
yeah, it's kind of like when you're driving a car and like somebody lets you in or whatever, right?
Hell yeah. As opposed to these days where kids aren't even allowed outside.
It's always funny, like I... I bring my computer out, like have my kid like look at something, and they're just like touching the screen, like, no, you have to use the mouse. Yeah. So I think you said you mentioned some about phishing pages before the pre-interview.
So this is probably like my biggest contribution, I guess, to the history, although I haven't always been one to like try to gain credit for anything I've done. But yeah, I believe that I was the first person to ever make an AOL InstaKiss scam page, phishing page, whatever you want to call it. It was called the AOL InstaKiss. Say like you had a crush on somebody, I guess you would be able to like send them an AOL InstaKiss where like they would get an email and it'd be like, you have an InstaKiss from, you know, Bob, blah, blah, blah.
Wait, is this the real thing?
Yeah. This was a real legit thing, because I remember this is how I thought of it. I was on, I went on to like one of those little like internal, you know, AOL pages, like content pages or whatever. I forget what they were called, but
a keyword.
Yeah. The keyword directory or whatever. And something caught my eye where I saw like, I stumbled upon a link and then a link, and I ended up on this AOL InstaKiss page. And I remember looking at it and I was like, oh, like my mind was like, oh, this would be a good way to play upon, you know, lonely men and be able to get their credit card information. Cause around this time I got real fascinated by credit card information and spamming. Like I saw people doing that kind of shit. And like, I was like, whoa, that's like some next level shit compared to cracking. I remember like, and this was like my first foray really into ever messing with HTML code, actually, now that I think about it. I viewed the source of the page and I was like, wait, so I think if I copy this, I can re-upload it on Tripod, or I used 8op.net. I think it predated Angel Fire and Tripod, if I'm correct. I remember I signed up for an account there and I copied over the code. And then like I started toying around with it, and it actually worked. And I was like, oh shit. Cause I wasn't sure if like the submit button was going to work or not, but it actually did. And I made it so that when they went to the page, it would ask them for their name and their credit card information. I didn't ask for any account information at all. I made it so like, you know, you verify your identity via credit card type thing. And I did it in cahoots with this guy named Vincent Glaze, or VG. I forget what his, he helped me with, I think it was like a CGI script that routed the information to a Hotmail that we had. And I think at the time I needed like a little help with the CGI, because I just never even messed with anything like that. And I just didn't know how it worked. And I didn't know, like, I didn't think to like research it anywhere, because I didn't know how to, because we didn't have Google or anything really. So I didn't know how to fucking look up what to do with that shit. So I remember somehow I got VG involved and he made it work. So then me and him split whatever would show up. And I don't know if I used Green Eggs and Spam or what spammer I used, but it would just go to all the private public rooms, scrape all the users that were in there, and then put them into a list, boom, boom, and just keep doing it over and over, and then mass mail my little email that I had built that was like a phishing template. And I remember logging into that Hotmail just on any given day, and there would just be fucking hundreds of credit cards pouring in, and I couldn't believe it, dude. I was like, yo, these fucking people are retarded, bro. It was crazy, dude. But like, I didn't really know what to do with them. Like, I was like too scared to like actually like card shit like all the way. Like, I remember like if someone pissed me off, I would card like some dildos and send it to their house. But I was too scared to send anything to my house or use it in. And I didn't really think about having a drop. Or, I'm in like fifth grade at this time. And I was, you know, I wasn't very sophisticated criminal wise as far as that goes. Thankfully, I probably could have got myself in a lot more trouble.
That's really funny. Yeah, I looked up this Vincent Glaze guy, and he has a number of mentions on various pages, it looks like. So I'm seeing like Vincent, I'm seeing like Glaze, Hex, like Ed Waxkide.
Yeah, Hex. I believe Hex was his partner. Like, they were like a team. Like, how people used to team up and it would be like two people. I believe it was Glaze and Hex. Like, I teamed up with this dude, Coco, for a while, you know, and we used to tag profiles Nice and Coco in Dax 99.
Oh, it's like, will you be, like, defacing people's profiles or what?
Yeah, yeah. We basically, because then you could type that tag into the member directory search, and all the cool names that you had tagged at the bottom, or the whatever you had cracked or otherwise got into, would pop up. So, like, I remember, like, people that would be kind of a way of keeping track of, like, you know, who was, like, a heavy hitter as far as, like, owning mad accounts.
What about, like, defacing keywords and stuff?
I can't front. I never got all the way into that kind of shit. Like, I saw what was going on with, like, YT Cracker and the people that would do that. And I thought it was awesome, and I would definitely spectate. I was listening to your Camo interview, which I was fascinated by, because I was in the private room ops at the same exact time. After private room scroll and all that stuff, my journey as far as private rooms, I moved on to IXA and INT. And I would go back and forth between them mainly. That's where I had gotten into all the cracking and all that kind of stuff. That's where I remember the bulk of the people that I can recall from. And then it was after like so long in there, I think it started to get a little malicious, and there was annoying people. Like, I remember I didn't like that dude Rocky, R0CKY. I think he was like annoying as fuck for some reason. Like, he was always trying to talk to all the girls on there and act like this, like, smooth, like Haxer pimp and shit. And, like, people like that started popping up, and then Callie and stuff. And I just, like, got tired of all them shit. So I got on the private room ops, and that place was cool because the people in there were elite, man. There was the Knight. The Knight was, like, the main dude in there. He was, like, the most mysterious and elite cat. He had, like, screen names like fucking BB and XB and, like, all these two-letter names, spaces before his name, or, like, underscores, or, like, just weird characters in his names that you couldn't use, and just shit that I had never even seen in any other private room, like, anyone else ever have. Like, he had it. So I was fascinated by that. And he had, like, all his programs had, like, kind of dark undertones. Like, I remember, I think it was a fish tank. I don't know what it was. It was called Opium by the Knight. I'm pretty sure it was, like, an account manager for fishes and shit. But I always got, like, a real kind of dark vibe from him. Then there was a guy named 420. He was in there. And then there was a guy named W0A. And this motherfucker, dude, he fucking had all types of leets, like, if you did a member directory search, dude, him and 420, I think they were partners. Yeah, it was WOA and 420. That's what I used to say in my head. And they had fucking hundreds and hundreds of, like, 16 letter names back before you could readily make anything like that. And I heard Camo talking about the screen name character length thing, and I remember that exactly. I got into the 16 character exploit through my buddy Screaming. I remember he told me how to do it right when I don't know if he might have been the first person to figure it out, but if not, he was one of them. And, like, you would like go to, like, this Netscape page and modify the source code or something like that, or do, like, some little weird trick, and it would allow you to make these 16 char names. So once I figured out how to do that, I was like, oh, this is fucking cool, dude. I think Camo was around the same age as me, actually. And yeah, they used to bust our balls in there, but they were definitely, like, heavy on the mentorship. So yeah, that was fascinating. I would like to talk to him one day about that stuff, because I never met anyone else that was around in that private room except hearing him talk about it. Dude, that was a dope private room.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot of stuff went down there. Do you remember anything specific?
I just remember the shit that the Knight would do was, like, fucking, like just, like, he was like a wizard, man. I think I dipped out before Cat, because I don't remember Camo getting into too much. I think, like, I might have dipped out just as he was kind of beginning, like, the first stages of, like, whatever mentorship he got from the Knight and stuff. Because during this time, I also had gotten into graffiti. And so, like, I started balancing two subcultures, and I started kind of leaning a little bit more towards the graffiti as opposed to the AOL around.
Right on. So after Ops, is that when you started leaving AOL? Or
I think after Ops, I believe, Yeah, because then we got cable internet, and then I think I might have went back to INT and IXA for a while, because there was other rooms that I would pop in, like, okay, so after that, what I started getting into spamming a bit. There was a guy, I think it was just Mix, M-I-A. I think he was on Digital Gangster, and he owned a affiliate program company. Basically, I would make Craigslist posts and act as a female and tell dudes, you know, you got to sign up on this site. I want to make sure that you're, you know, real and I can trust you and I'm safe or whatever. And then anyone who signed up, I would get $20. That was my introduction to affiliate marketing and making money through the internet. So I started getting into that.
So you weren't using like AOL for that. That's interesting. Craigslist, I guess, another medium, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I started getting away from AOL, because like the wider internet had started to open up. This must have been like 04, something like that. Like right, I remember there was like Dogpile. Like different searches were starting to kind of like pop up and stuff, and the wider internet was starting to happen. So that started spending less time on AOL.
Oh my God, I forgot about Dogpile. Hotpile was my favorite, I think, but I forgot about Dogpile.
I remember the phone conferences. That was a cool thing. I remember every once in a while, like they'd be like, "Oh, we got a conference line," dropping like it into the chat and go on there. That was pretty cool. YT Cracker, he was like he was another like kind of infamous figure to me. Like I used to love it. Like he had that Canadian cert thing. What was it called? Concert or something? And it would use like Canadian certs to somehow like get you free AOL accounts. That shit was cool. And then he made like a little flash video. It was like an animated like it was a little flash fucking movie that he made, dude. It was hilarious. Dude, that shit used to make me crack up. And somewhere along the line, I got on Digital Gangster forum and stuff. I used to lurk on there more than I posted. But, dude, one of my main regrets is that I didn't listen to fucking Rye Gold when he was telling everyone to buy gold, man. There was this fucking guy on there, and he was all about gold, and he kept telling us to buy gold. And around the time, it was 300 an ounce, and it would go... And it would later go up to fucking almost 3,000 an ounce, dude. If I would have listened to that dude, I'd be so rich right now.
Yeah, it's kind of same with like Bitcoin. I remember when it came out, I was like, that sounds stupid. And he was like, didn't buy any, you know?
Exactly, dude. I didn't buy any, dude. And dude, I had so many opportunities, and I used to just like shame my friends for buying that stupid shit.
So did you ever get in trouble on AOL?
I never got any like police or anything like that, like some of the guys have had happen. I never got swatted. The only trouble I really got was like I got my account termed a couple times. That my mom was pissed, but I was somewhat able to just shift the blame because, like, you know, she didn't understand what the fuck was going on, and I just kind of shifted the blame. But yeah, I remember I got termed a few times. That was cool.
So why were you sending dildos to people's houses, and how did you get their address?
Well, I guess one thing that's important to say about me is that I used to be a fucking asshole. Like, I guess it's probably tied to the fact that when I was 7 years old, my dad overdosed on a speedball, and I found him dead on the bathroom floor. And so I never really kind of processed that or handled it. Like, my mom said the next day, I just woke up and was like, "Hey, mom, what are we doing today?" And like, I never like spoke to a count. We just didn't talk about it ever again after that I can recall. And I don't think I've really processed it. So like, I think that might be part of why I became so kind of like mean and like an asshole. But like, yeah, I used to just do malicious shit, man. Like, I used to try to ruin people's lives if I could. Like, I remember like I got into the, this is later, but I got into the, I used to be on this graffiti forum, and I got into this chick. She was like real popular on there, and I didn't like her. And dude, it was weird because I just guessed her password, dude. I don't know how the fuck I did it, but I was like, I need to get in this bitch's account. Fuck her. So I sat down, and I just remember thinking for a couple minutes what her password might be. I didn't know her or nothing. And I fucking put a password in there. And within the first, like, I think three tries, dude, it just logs in. And I'm like, cool. And like looking back on it, I don't know how the fuck I did that, dude. But anyway, I got in her account. So then I tried the password. Once I found out her emails and stuff, I tried it on there. Same password. Boom. Got in there. Got into her business accounts. And I just deleted like years and years and years of business records and shit. I remember like replying to like her clients and like sending them like Nazi pictures and shit. She had nudes and I leaked them like. And, like, she didn't do nothing to me or nothing, but I was just like, ah, fuck this cunt. Like, I was the, I'll take full responsibility for being a complete asshole. And I definitely got had karma come around and make me pay for all that shit many times over. But, yeah. So that's why I used to, if someone pissed me off, I would pose as somebody and I am them. I usually pose as a girl. And I would like basically just is, I guess, socially engineer them through into the messenger to get enough details to where I could figure out their identity and then send them some abilities. Dude, we were bad kids, man. Like, dude, we basically used to participate in domestic terrorism for a pastime. Like we used to get these steel beams and put them on the SEPTA tracks, which is like the train that people take to like work and get to the city and stuff in this area. And we used to put these steel beams on the train tracks and hide behind a bush. And we, dude, I remember one time, dude, the 5 o'clock train's coming home and it just goes boom. And it's fucking shooting out sparks everywhere. And everyone gets off the train like crying and shit. And they all thought they were gonna die. And dude, we're just pissing our pants in a bush, like laughing, dude. That was fifth grade too. We used to go and get matches out of the cigarette machines. Like they used to have them in like waiting rooms at restaurants and bars and stuff like around town. And we would just go around and get matches out of each one, and then like go around and light mailboxes on fire, like the postal ones, like the blue ones on the corner of the street that you put mail in. We used to just light them on fire and just walk away. And we would never get caught for it. I never got caught for a single fucking thing I ever did. We were doing shit like that all the time.
That's crazy. That's like your own version of Jackass right before Jackass came out, right?
Yeah, it's funny because he's from not too far from me. He's from Westchester, Pennsylvania. I'm from Delaware County, Pennsylvania. So he's about 20. I used to work in Westchester, actually.
So you'd send more than one dildo. It'd be like.
Oh, yeah. I would like box. I don't remember specific, like hundreds of dollars worth.
Because I think one of our guests said he would send pallets, like pallets of dildos. That was single. I don't know if you heard of his episode. He was in NV2.
No, I saw him listed on your when I was looking at the interviews. I never heard a single. I never heard of NV2. We must have never just crossed paths or something, because I never, never heard of it.
You were both sending dildos to people.
That's hilarious, dude. Maybe I got the idea from him even, because I remember someone was talking about doing so in one of the chats, and that's where I got the idea to start doing that. So it might have been him. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he also mentioned getting swatted, but I think they called it something else back then, getting van, I forgot, vanned or something. But
I don't think that's like that in my recollection. I think that started in the early 2000s, like. I don't think that existed in the late 90s. I don't believe. I never heard of the term or anything like that happening to anybody. I think people started doing that around like 04, maybe. There was like this overlay of people that were like kind of like internet or AOL hackers that were also like went into like being Xbox hackers. And I think, yeah, I think they that like amalgamation and group of people were like the ones that kind of birthed that whole swatting phenomenon.
So how did your experience on AOL impact your life and like personality?
The very first thing it did was, like I said, when I logged on that and I felt like I was at the Library of Alexandria, it planted a seed in my mind where I thought to myself, oh my God, I have access to the world's knowledge at my fingertips, right in front of me. And then that was only expanded later when Google would come out. So basically that little seed that was planted led to that idea in my mind. So therefore when Google came out and I truly had access to literally any knowledge that I could think of to want to look up, I started using that to my advantage. And I got this idea in my head that, wait, okay, so normally people are experts in something, or they're just like a little bit good at lots of things. And I was like, well, what if I become a fucking expert in lots of things? And I was like, if I start now, I could do something like that. So I at the time I was getting into marketing and digital marketing a whole lot, because I started way back with that affiliate shit where I was kind of, it wasn't like legitimate marketing, but I had gotten a taste of it. So that kind of started my love for marketing. And then I started doing it more legitimately. So I mapped out like, okay, I'm going to teach myself SEO, because SEO had just kind of started at the time, PPC, graphic design, web design. And I basically wanted to be able to do everything that the marketing agency could do on my own without having to rely on anybody. So I started doing that. And then I would later add on more things like philosophy and psychology and, you know, neurolinguistic programming. And like now I'm very, very, very proficient in so many different disciplines. And like, I attribute all of that to my experience with AOL. Like, it just, and it also taught me that you can teach yourself things and it made me be curious. Like, my curiosity was definitely sparked for the first time, like in a way that I could apply it to things and experience as a scholarly pursuit and something to look forward to in life. So that's something that that's probably the only reason I'm alive, honestly, because, you know, I've gotten to points in my life where I probably would have killed myself had I not been so curious what I could accomplish. Should I not do that? That's probably the only reason why I didn't do that.
The curiosity, I think, is really common amongst folks that were in those private rooms at that time. That's the only reason you're there, right? It's because you asked, like, what is that, right? and you went down the rabbit hole.
Like, I'm fascinated by the fact that, like so many people from back then went on to, like, do so much awesome stuff. I don't know if you were around, but, like, there was this dude, and he used to always post his beats, and we would be like, fuck with him. He'd be like, oh, they're garbage. Well, it turns out he ended up being Skrillex. And like,
seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
I'm pretty sure if you ask like YT Cracker, he'll probably know about it. Yeah, it's Skrillex used to fucking be around. I feel like everybody, at least to some extent, was successful in life, whether they became a software engineer or a business owner, and like or Mark Zuckerberg. So like, there's kind of something to that, man. It's kind of weird.
I think you said you were like writing a book or something. Did it have something to do with like AOL or
the first chapter in it? Basically, what I just was talking about with curiosity and how I. Basically, to get go into it a little bit more. So when I was 12, I specifically chose out different marketing subtypes like PPC, SEO, and I mapped them all out. And I was like, all right, I'm going to teach myself all of these. And I created like documentation for myself to follow. And I mapped it out over the course of years. And I was like, okay, so by this time, I want to know this and I want to accomplish this. And so I had it all mapped out to where, like, by age 25, I would be an SEO analyst, you know, making X amount of money. And then by 28, I wanted to be a marketing director and making X amount of money. And then by 30, I wanted to be. So I had actually landed and I ended up exactly where I projected myself to be. I wanted to be a marketing director making at least $75,000 by the time I was 30 years old. That was like my, you know, goal for myself, to where if I was able to accomplish that, then I could, you know, at least ensure that I wouldn't be a complete failure. And I projected that all the way back when I was 12 years old. And then, you know, due to this framework I'd built for myself, despite the fucking absolute horror show that my later years became, because I got in, like I said, I was already kind of an asshole. And then I turned into like a fucking degenerate scumbag criminal. Thief. Like I became a booster, so I was all about stealing shit. Like, You know, like I've stolen like hundreds of thousands of dollars of Balenciaga from Neiman Marcus and shit. So like I got real into that and like writing graffiti and hanging out in North Philadelphia, which I don't know if you know anything about North Philadelphia, but it is very, very gutter, open air drug market. Like I could have really like not had a very good life, but it was that fucking framework I built for myself all the way back then. And then all the knowledge I taught myself that saved me from basically probably ending up dead or in jail. So I wanted to somehow package that and give it to people so that they too could use what I know is a working framework for utilizing curiosity to accomplish things strategically in your life over long periods of time by continuously, you know, participating in what I call the FOMEP framework. So basically, in order to make your curiosity strategically work for you, first you feed it, then you organize it, then you measure it, then you evaluate it, and then you perpetuate it. So I build out these five steps, and basically the book, you know, promotes these steps and lays them out, and I go into the like the neurology of it, and I tie it, like everything in my whole book is all like footnoted and tied back to scientific studies. And in the past 4 years, a lot of science has gotten done that has proved all of the shit that I did and have written about. So that's like what the book's about. And so I started off by talking about AOL and how that sparked my curiosity and basically opened the doors for me to do all that stuff to begin with.
That's super interesting. Yeah, I think the measuring part is like super important, right? You gotta be able to measure your success.
Oh yeah, like you gotta know, like, you know, if what you're doing is working and you know how much it's working and what and how far you've gotten along towards whatever goal it is. And it's pretty I'm still working. Like I have to get better at basically having like elevator pitches and like ways, because it's very, very complex. And it's kind of hard for me sometimes to vocalize, you know, or give you a quick summary of certain shit. So I don't know if what I said sounds like disjointed or not, because I felt a little like it's hard to summarize it all because it's a very complicated book. But I'm pretty proud of it, man. Like I've always been a very good writer. Like, I remember I won a Young Authors Award when I was in third grade, I think. And I've just always naturally been like when we would have spelling tests, it just made sense to me automatically how the word should be spelled. Like I didn't have to think about it or try or learn like any like rules of like phonetics. Like it just made sense to me how the word should be spelled. And that's how like language has always been for me. So I was just automatically a great writer. It was so easy for me that I didn't take it seriously as like a career option. Like I should have been writing books my whole fucking life, but it wasn't challenging enough in a sense. So I felt like I, you know, I just took it for granted.
But now you felt like you had to write something. Is it out? Or are you still like doing revisions or what?
Right now I'm editing it. Basically I've been, it's something I wanted to write for many years, and I would here and there I would like write like a chapter or write, you know, a few paragraphs, but I never, you know, sat down and just did it. I really started thinking about like what I wanted to do moving forward, and I felt like the world was kind of changing, and then especially more recently once like ChatGPT came out and I started seeing like where automation is going and the fact that like many people's jobs are probably going to be threatened pretty soon, and the fact that they could probably use something like my book because it'll help people that aren't naturally curious or don't seek out things or teach themselves things or skills to be able to do so in an organized, efficient way. So I was really like, shit, I need to fucking get this book written and put it out now. Like this is what I've been waiting for. Cause I always had a feeling like I wanted to write it, but something like just held me back. And I think it was because it wasn't time yet. And now it's like, I feel like, oh, it's fucking time. So I just started writing my ass off, and I knocked out the whole fucking first draft of it in like 3 months or something, as opposed to like all the years I wanted to write it that I never got around to.
Nice, man. Well, I hope it goes well. I'll put it in the show notes whenever it gets released.
I got a website that it's appliedcuriosities.com, T-Y-S, not T-I-E-S. I'll send you the link to it, but I'm starting to build a website there where basically I want to have a community where like people that are reading the book or interested in the ideas that I expel can kind of congregate around that and maybe talk about what they're currently like working on or doing with the framework or whatever it may be.
Cool. Is there anything else you remember from back then?
Yeah, I just want to shout out everybody that was around back then. Like, you know, I have very fond memories of it, and it's something I'll always be, you know, very fond of and hold near and dear to my heart. And you know, I just want to thank everyone for being involved in that shit and making my childhood a really cool experience, because, you know, I guess it took everyone involved to make it what it was.
Awesome, dude.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about, what is this re-AOL thing? Are you guys making like a fucking clone of AOL or something?
No, it is AOL. What happened was somebody, he's actually in one of the other episodes, it's Posse for Us. He figured out how to get the old AOL 3.0 client working. And
wow.
Yeah, there's like a Discord. You can go there and they'll tell you how to, so basically you just boot up a virtual machine of like Windows XP and you download, they give you the AOL 3.0 installer and a special file, and you just hit connect and you're talking to people in AOL chat rooms again. It's pretty cool.
What? Dude, that's great. Dude, I'm going to go check that out right now, dude. What?
Yeah, they renamed it to P3OL, you know, like P3 being like the letter R, because I think they didn't want to get sued or whatever. But yeah, it's cool. Like, there's, you know, people in the chat rooms and stuff. And I remember, like, YT Cracker was in there. He made, like, this VB program that it would be like a word. It was like a word scramble game, and everyone would guess the word and then go to the next word and stuff. It was kind of
fun. Oh, nice. I remember them programs where they would be games and shit. I remember that. You used to like be able to rack up points and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool. Yeah, so it's fun. But like the Discord community, it's kind of like back how it was back then. Everyone's just kind of chatting and stuff.
Really?
And it's just like a normal like chat room, and you know, and but luckily there's like admins who can boot people, so like all the toxic people get kicked off. So it's actually really brought the fresh air, you know, because normally the internet's just toxic. So
yeah, but I appreciate it, man. You know, I was definitely a fan of the pod for a while, and I kept on wanting to. I was like, oh man, I would love to go on there, but I didn't know who actually made it. So that's why, like, when I stumbled across you, I was like, oh shit, awesome.
Oh, I guess it's, well, first of all, I'm glad you came on, so thank you. And I guess if anyone else was in the same spot, you can just email podcast@aolunderground.com. You can get in touch with me if you want to be a guest. Thanks for taking the time to come on today. I really appreciate it.
All right. I just want to say, too, if anyone from back then who remembers me wants to get out and reach out to me, my email is marketerzach@gmail.com. D-A-C-H.
Awesome, man. All right, dude.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Welcome to cyberspace.